A beer, a game of pool, and people who don't annoy you. That's all you're looking for. Just a place where you can relax, play a friendly or serious game of pool, and have a stellar mug of beer. That's TCB Pool Hall. 10 full-size pool tables you can rent by the hour, a great choice of beers, and people 21 and over who aren't trying to impress anybody. It's so normal, it's almost weird. Rack and roll at TCB Pool Hall on the Ped Mall next to Mondo Saloon in downtown Iowa City.
The skills you can develop as a soldier in the Army National Guard can give you an edge in the high-tech job market of tomorrow. The Guard offers career training to take advantage of your skills in science, technology, engineering, and math that can help give you a leg up to a high-paying and rewarding STEM profession. Get a head start on your career while earning money to pay for college. Log on to NationalGuard.com to learn about all of the STEM career opportunities in the Army National Guard.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Let's talk about Cody. Last August, he was selling boomboxes at a big box electronics store. Last month, Cody started his new information technology career, making more money working less hours. Hate what you do? Don't get boxed in. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Classes meet on campus or live online 2 or 3 times a week. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career. mycomputercareer.edu.
My neighbors always ask me, "Hey Pete, how do you keep your yard so nice?"
Pete makes it simple with a Scotts Turf Builder feeding program. It's the best way to get the yard you want all year long, guaranteed. All it takes is 4 easy feedings. Just once in early spring, late spring, summer, and fall. Providing nutrition and weed control to keep your lawn lush and green.
So, now you know my secret.
This is a Scotts Yard. Pick up a Scotts Turf Builder program today.
A list of things that will let you down today. Your alarm clock, C-store coffee, public transportation, the office elevator, the sandwich you packed for lunch, the fifth floor printer, your cell phone battery, the shoelace you swore you double knotted, your hard drive, your backup hard drive, and of course, the weather. Brighten your day with something you can actually count on. GoToMeeting is the easy-to-use collaborative meeting tool that 18 million monthly users trust to help them get work done. To learn more about how you can meet better, visit GoToMeeting.com.
The Final Lap with Carrie Murphy is on.
From Martinsville Speedway, weekday Truck Series action after a weekend of rain and snow, and John Hunter Nemechek battled to the stripe with Kyle Benjamin to take the checkered flag and the grandfather clock trophy.
I felt pretty confident going into today about our truck. This is actually the truck that we won both races that we won with last year at Gateway and Iowa, and we decided to bring it for the first time to Martinsville here this year. Worked really hard on it all weekend. We unloaded with a lot of speed, and we just kept working on our truck all day. I kept telling Jerry kind of what I thought I needed, and he made a couple of slight adjustments, but really nothing. We kind of stayed the balance all day. Huge shout out to Jerry Kennan and the other three guys that we have at our shop that prepare these trucks each and every week.
Driving for Kyle Busch Motorsports in that number 54 truck, Kyle Benjamin snatches second place.
First off, I'd like to thank the team for the opportunity. It was a great truck. They gave me an awesome piece, and unfortunately, at the end right there, we needed a long run to pass the leader. We didn't get it. I felt like our truck was better lap 10 and on, so I was hoping for a long run at the end. We just didn't get what we needed there, but we had a very fast, really fast truck, and I think it showed on that one long green flag run we had how much speed we did have there.
Brett Moffitt was third, followed by Grant Enfinger, and Noah Gregson rounds out the top five as the series takes a huge vacation. Their next race is at Dover in May.
Like us at Facebook.com/thefinallap.
At CVS Pharmacy at Target, we put a little extra heart into everything we do, like actively looking to save you money. Generics, 90-day refills, even rewards. Get a $5 Target coupon for every 10 prescriptions. On your next Target run, stop by CVS Pharmacy. We're the place with the big heart. Not valid on all prescriptions, including those purchased in Arkansas, New Jersey, or New York. Other restrictions apply. See cvs.com/extracare-target or the pharmacy for details. CVS Pharmacy at Target. Health is everything.
It's 3 p.m., and you just ran out of ink. You have a report due end of day, which is 2 hours from now. You can't push the deadline because end of day means end of today, not end of tomorrow day. What now? Go to your local Staples store. Staples has a huge selection of ink and toner in stock and at low prices every day. So you can get your ink fast for less. End of story.
back to the Todd Brodelkamp Show right here on KGYM.
Wow. It's kind of intimidating to be in the presence of so many great athletes.
Is our number three of the Todd Brodelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn. Very complicated behind-the-scenes trickery going on here as we prepare for a check-in with our friends from CBS2, the 6 o'clock broadcast underway. And I understand it'll be about 7 minutes or so. I will be chatting with them tonight, our final check-in with them prior to the start of the Final Four in San Antonio. Of course, the national championship game is set for next Monday night. We're going to be stepping aside on Monday at 6:30 next week so that we can bring you Westwood One's final college basketball broadcast of the year, the national championship game from San Antonio. Could be the Michigan Wolverines, could be the Loyola Ramblers. One of those two teams will advance from the left side of the bracket, and then you've got two number one seeds remaining on the right-hand side. Villanova and Kansas were able to hold serve all the way through the first several rounds of the tournament. Lots to get to before we finish up tonight, including the 6 o'clock showdown at the bottom of the hour. Your chance to take home four tickets to see the Cedar Rapids Colonels on opening night at Veterans Memorial Stadium. It is Saturday, April 7th. Go ahead and put it on your calendars now. The Colonels and the Quad Cities River Bandits. Seven questions, 60 seconds. Whoever answers the most is successful. We got a question on the Hertine and Stocker text line, though, earlier tonight from 3530, who's a big baseball fan and presumably also looking forward to the opener tomorrow, although a Royals fan also, so not too pleased about the Salvador Perez news. So he was at home and he was carrying his own luggage up the steps, and that's when he heard the pop. Out 4 to 6 weeks with the MCL tear, grade 2 sprain, whatever it is, whatever the actual diagnosis is. It was such a strange offseason. We're going into opening day tomorrow. There are a ton of free agents who are still on the market. So 3530 was wondering who you thought was the biggest unsigned free agent at this point. Who's the biggest surprise to you that that player has not found a team yet? I can tell you mine is the guy that he actually mentioned in the text, and that's Greg Holland, because he's an extremely effective relief pitcher with closing experience. And I know Major League Baseball teams are sort of migrating or trending toward, well, you can find relief pitchers anywhere and anybody can close, and you're seeing a little bit of that with the St. Louis Cardinals deciding to break camp with Jordan Hicks in their bullpen, and maybe he winds up being the closer if Dominic Leone can't get the job done. I don't know what Mike Matheny is thinking, but it's interesting because Holland was one of those guys who was mentioned with the Cardinals pretty much at the beginning of the hot stove season. And then there was no talk about Greg Holland at all whatsoever, and he's out there waiting to be signed by somebody. This is a guy who you could sign and drop into the ninth inning role on your team tomorrow and feel very comfortable about it.
That is pretty strange. Are you surprised to see Jason Wirth unsigned at this point?
He signed yesterday with the Seattle Mariners, signed a minor league deal, and is, I guess, depth for the Mariners. Probably not center field depth. Don't have to worry about him pushing D. Gordon anytime soon. But, you know, I think a minor league deal for a veteran, a big bat like him. We saw him with the Washington Nationals last, playing in a platoon role. Maybe you're going to see some of these guys have to settle for minor league deals, shake off the rust a little bit, or just go down to the minor leagues and be sort of on the taxi squad waiting to get a call up back to the major leagues. Jose Bautista is out there unsigned.
Matt Adams, right, still?
Matt Adams, I thought, had signed with the Nationals, right? With the thought that he's probably going to spell Ryan Zimmerman at first base and be a platoon bat in their outfield. So not a ton of at-bats for Matt Adams. I could be wrong on that. I think he's signed with Washington. But for a while there, this offseason, you had an all-star caliber team. You even had a starting rotation, although we saw Jake Arrieta land with the Phillies and Alex Cobb goes to Baltimore, Lance Lynn with the Twins. Those guys were out there and didn't sign with teams until spring training was well underway. So a good question, an interesting one put forth by 3530, but I think at this point it sort of starts and ends the conversation with Greg Holland, and I would assume any team that signs him, he's going to probably need a little bit of time to get into shape. But what happens if a contending team suffers a blow early on in the year? Say the Red Sox all of a sudden find themselves with Craig Kimbrell on the disabled list for any length of time, or, you know, trying to think the Astros, Ken Giles, maybe something happens with him, although they've got such a stable of young power arms that they can probably figure out somebody to close. But Greg Holland could get a very lucrative deal if a team runs into problems early on and decides to panic and bring him in to, say, replace an injured closer.
3558 points out that Melky Cabrera is still unsigned at this point.
Melky Cabrera is out there, a guy who obviously there was some PED discussion with him a couple years ago, but he's still an effective player and a guy that could give you either an everyday player or at least the better part of a platoon. The question that a couple friends and I were trying to get to the bottom of last night is this a one-off for Major League Baseball? Was this just an outlier of an off season, or is this the way things are going to be for the next couple seasons? And we've spent a little bit of time today talking about Bryce Harper, and I think Bryce Harper and Manny Machado looming on the horizon probably have something to do with the fact that this offseason.
Loyola, Chicago, Michigan, Villanova, and Kansas prepare to face off. Joining us live with their opinions and picks in this year's March Madness is Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn from 1600 KGYN The Gym. Hi, guys.
How's it going?
Great. Listen, we're a few days away from the big games. Obviously, the biggest story of the tournament this year has been Loyola Chicago. What do you think has brought them this far, and maybe the support of Sister Jean?
I think they certainly probably have some divine intervention on their side, but they just play great team basketball, and I think that's what's really been the fun part of watching them so far. They don't necessarily have a star-caliber player. Clayton Custer, the former Iowa State player, has been one of their big leaders, but they just play a great togetherness style of basketball that I think fans can enjoy.
They do, and they've had three different guys make shots in crunch time. Marcus Towns made the game-winning shot against Nevada. Clayton Custer made the game-winning shot against Tennessee. Dante Ingram made the game-winning shot against Miami. They have that intestinal fortitude late in games to close them out. And that, like Todd said, they play very good team basketball, and they move with a purpose. And that's something that you don't see very often in college basketball anymore. Teams, I kind of compare it to the San Antonio Spurs in the NBA. They move the ball kind of at that level in the college game.
Sure, sure. Well, let's talk about the championship game. Who do you think's in it? Who's taking home the trophy?
I'm the only person among the VIP picks on your contest that had Kansas winning, so it's going to be some team other than Kansas.
I have Villanova. I picked them in this bracket, and I think that they're the best offensive team, averaging nearly 90 points per game. They have the best point guard in Jalen Brunson. And I actually have them beating Loyola, who I think will get past Michigan in a very tight one in the semifinal.
All right, guys, we'll see if you're right. It's coming up. Thanks for your predictions and your time. May the best or luckiest team win. Thanks, guys.
And still to come.
Just to clarify, I said I was the only VIP picker to have Kansas winning. I don't need anybody lighting up the text line saying they've got hundreds of people that have picked Kansas to win in their contest. But I went through, I did an audit. And yes, I was the only person to have Kansas among the VIP, and I don't know what makes a VIP. Why am I more special than you out there listening? Because I sit behind a microphone and blather for 3 hours every day? I guess that's what it is. But I have a feeling Kansas is probably fighting a losing battle at this point, more so because of Villanova and what Jay Wright's team brings to the table. And then I'm not going to lose sleep over either team on that left side of the bracket advancing to Monday night's championship game. Loyola has been the story of the tournament, and Michigan has proven that they're capable of playing tremendous basketball as well throughout their run to the Final Four. And it's always nice to see a Big Ten team still standing at this time of the season, and you could say the same thing about an MVC team, which we mentioned yesterday on the program, not to completely just abandon that baseball discussion, which we were in the middle of when it was time for the check-in. But Pat Forty at Yahoo wrote a very insightful column about you and I and Loyola in St. Louis at the MVC tourney, and how you and I had Loyola against the wall in the final couple minutes of that game. What was the final score? 54-50, something.
That is correct,
something
yes.
like that. And had you and I pulled off the win, none of this would have – the world would not know who Sister Jean is. You would have to be a Loyola alum to know who Sister Jean is had you and I won that game, because Loyola was not as good as they were during the regular season. They were not getting an at-large bid to the tournament. As a matter of fact, in the last 10 years since George Mason made that Final Four run in 06, you've seen the number of at-large bids for teams outside of the top seven conferences. We always talk Power Five. That's more of a football term. But outside of the top seven basketball conferences, fewer and fewer and fewer at-large bids have gone to teams from leagues like the MVC. You see a lot more teams getting in. Oklahoma, a team from the Big 12 this year that pretty much everybody said did not belong in the tournament. I highly encourage you to read what Pat Forty had to write and say about the process and the selection of teams from the top seven conferences versus a team like Loyola, because usually when you get a Cinderella dancing this late into the ball and the clock is at about 5 minutes to midnight one way or the other, they're either going to win the whole thing or finally lose. But it usually leads those Power Seven, top seven conferences to figure out a way to make it a little bit harder for teams like Loyola to crash the party, even though I don't think you can necessarily argue that this has been a bad thing for college basketball. The viewership numbers are still very good. People are watching this tournament. They're not turning it off saying, well, man, I wish that was Tennessee or Cincinnati or a program that I had at least heard of before the start of March Madness. They're still watching. They're pulled in. They're captivated by the story.
I just think about the teams in the non-Power 5 conferences that didn't get in, and nobody thinks about that. No, they're out of sight, out of mind. They're in the NIT, and nobody thinks about it. Vermont won their conference during the regular season. They beat UMBC twice during the regular season. They lose on a buzzer beater in the conference tournament. They don't get into the NCAA tournament. UMBC becomes the darling of the NCAA tournament. Middle Tennessee, who had made the tournament the last 2 years, done some damage, won a game in each of their tournaments, appearances, gets absolutely no benefit of the doubt. They get held out of the last four in. And it just, I look at college basketball and people say, well, I want to see the Blue Bloods. Well, right now the Blue Bloods are inexperienced freshman teams that are struggling with the concept of playing team basketball, while some of these upper echelon teams outside of the Power Five are senior heavy and know what they're doing, and the gap between them is getting tighter and tighter and tighter by the day. And it's a shame that we didn't get to see St. Mary's this year. We didn't get to see Middle Tennessee State this year, because somebody said that Oklahoma and some of these other teams are better than them, when I don't think that's the case.
The other thing that Pat Forty tackled in his piece at Yahoo.com is the fact that it's extremely difficult for mid-major teams to get home and home games, where a team like Iowa is not willing to go to a Loyola or elsewhere. They want you to come to their building, and perhaps rightfully so. It's very similar to college football, because you take a team out of its stadium in a non-conference game, and bad things can sometimes happen. We saw Iowa back in 2002 go to Oxford, Ohio. And, of course, Ben Roethlisberger was the quarterback of the Red Hawks at the time. But it was a 15, 20,000-seat stadium, and the atmosphere was different, and it was horribly hot that day, and the Hawkeyes were primed for an upset. You don't see basketball teams doing that either. As a matter of fact, Loyola had a high-profile team back out of them this year on a home-and-home. It's unfortunate. But there's a number of things. You look at how do you determine a team and whether or not it gets an at-large bid. RPI, strength of schedule, a lot of that plays in. And unless you go play a murderer's row on the road in your non-conference schedule, if you're a school like Loyola, you're up against the wall before you even really begin the season. You have to have a special season. And then not only that, you also have to win your conference tournament, because had they lost to UNI, there's no way in hell Porter Moser's team gets an at-large bid.
Which is interesting you bring up Loyola, because they went on the road and beat a six seed. They went on the road and beat Florida.
That was their one marquee
exactly.
win. Yes,
exactly. But they went and scheduled that game. They won that game. And they did. And then the excuse becomes, well, if they played that type of schedule week in and week out, day in and day out, they would have so and so losses. Okay, well, you're changing your criteria at that point. And I go back to Middle Tennessee. They played USC. They played Miami, which was an NCAA tournament team. They played Auburn. They lost to all those teams. They lost to Miami, a six seed, by three. They lost to Auburn, a four seed, by six. And they lost to USC by five. That was an NCAA tournament team, and they got held out because of their name and pretty much their name alone.
319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker text line. You can use it to reach out to us here during the broadcast. Hertin and Stocker, located at 101 South Dubuque Street in Iowa City. They've been Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years. We will take a quick timeout. When we come back, Kyle's going to get you an update from Duane Banks Field. Iowa taking on Elvis Dominguez and the Bradley Braves today. Elvis, a longtime Iowa assistant, has been running that Bradley program for the last nine seasons as the head coach, and has the Braves playing pretty good baseball in that conference. We'll check in and see how the Hawkeyes are doing. They're underway at Pearl Field as well. I believe there was a little bit of a weather issue, but Iowa and Drake set to play today on the softball diamond. Mount Mercy and Cornell at it as well today. Updates galore on the way when we return after this.
Have you been to the Fieldhouse lately? Yeah, the Fieldhouse. You know, the one and only Hawkeye bar in Cedar Rapids. The sports bar where the food never takes second place. The famous happy hour that everybody loves. That's the one, the Fieldhouse. Bring your buddies for lunch this week. Stop in and grab a table or order online at fieldhouse1stav.com. Give your lunch hour a shot of black and gold pride at the Fieldhouse on First Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Cedar Rapids Iowa City HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Underlings, I'm sensing some tension between us lately, so I'm proposing a peace offering.
A peace offering?
Yes, by this time tomorrow, you are all expected to give me a peace offering. Gifts, cash, compliments, whatever.
What do we get out of it?
You get to keep working here, if your peace offering is deemed worthy.
Don't work for a Dave. Find a boss you can respect. One who's looking for great and local talent at Cedar Rapids Iowa City HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
There are two ways to pour motor oil. The hard way, which can get messy. Or the easy way, introducing Valvoline in the new Easy Pour bottle, featuring a redesigned easy pull tap and spout and anti-glug tube. Now, the proven protection you expect from Valvoline is even easier to pour. Faster, cleaner, proven. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Valvoline, since 1866. Now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Max Life in a filter for $25.99. Terms and conditions may apply.
Progressive presents Get Pumped. Inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Okay, time out. You're gonna let your budget be the boss of you? Take control with Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Tell us what you want to pay for car insurance, and we'll help you find options that fit your budget. Here's some music to get you pumped. Da-dong-da-dong-da-dong-da-dong-dang-dang. I hear your budget laughing at you. Oh, wait, that's just those kids laughing at me. Ignore them! Da-dong-da-dong-da-dong.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
Never heard of.
Not surprised. More people watch the fish tank at Leo's pet store.
Coming up on the bottom of the hour, 6:27, with you for the 6 o'clock showdown right around the corner, an opportunity for you to take home tickets to see the Cedar Rapids Colonels on opening night Saturday, April 7th. The Quad Cities River Bandits coming to town, the Astros affiliate in the Midwest League. Colonels back in action for another year. 7 questions, 60 seconds. Your chance to win with us next. But first, Kyle's got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Iowa baseball team's in action today, hosting Bradley at Duane Banks Field. The Hawkeyes sit at 13-8, and Bradley enters at 12-5. Freshman Trenton Wallace got the start for Iowa today, and the Hawkeyes led 6-1 after 5 innings, but Bradley's actually come back to tie at 6-6 in the 6th. Iowa softball swept a doubleheader yesterday against University of Wisconsin-Green Bay at Pearl Field in Iowa City. Kenzie Isle was the winning pitcher in a run-ruled 9-1 victory in Game 1, while sophomore Allison Ducey got the win in a 3-2 victory in Game 2. The Hawkeyes moved to 15-13. They're hosting Drake today, but they trail 3-0 in the 4th. It was reported yesterday that former Iowa State guard Donovan Jackson will be competing in an inaugural 3-on-3 tournament that will take place at the Final Four between March 30th and April 1st. It'll feature 32 four-man teams representing every Division I conference. He's also going to be one of 8 participants in the three-point contest tomorrow night at 8 on ESPN2. Potentially bad news for fans of the Cedar Rapids Rampage today. The Major Arena Soccer League announced that Orlando has been awarded a franchise, and Rampage GM Chris Kokalis is set to be named GM of said franchise. Given that the Rampage are also up for sale, you can kind of connect the dots there and likely say goodbye to the Rampage. Tomorrow's opening day for Major League Baseball, and that means we're going to have our first Minnesota Twins game here on KGYM. Jake Odorizzi will get the start as they take on Dylan Bundy in Baltimore. You can hear that game beginning at 1:30 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
If that Florida team is called the Aroma, I'm going to get station attorney Dan Fielding on the phone, and we will issue a cease and desist letter.
Maybe it would make sense in that city.
If the Cedar Rapids, it would make sense. You're right. I had forgotten about my trip there. Jacksonville wasn't great. Jacksonville smelled like coffee because I think they had a Maxwell House factory there or something. That was my one lasting memory from the Tax Slayer Bowl. Was the fact that Jacksonville, at least the area where we were, smelled like coffee. But will you miss indoor soccer in Cedar Rapids? You can let us know on the Hertin and Stocker text line, 319-366-1600. The Titans, the indoor football team that Chris Kokalis ran, I know still up for sale as well. Bob Bruce running the franchise, and we'll see whether or not Cedar Rapids can maintain that professional franchise. But more on that to come. The Rampage / Aroma may or may not come up on the 6 o'clock showdown. 7 questions, 60 seconds. We'll take callers number 1 and 2 right now, 319-366-1600. And when we return, you folks will play for tickets to see the Cedar Rapids Colonels on opening night. We've got a 4-pack of tickets, 7 questions, 60 seconds. Callers number 1 and 2 right now to 319-366-1600. We'll find out who our contestants are when we return after this.
Oh, you're Paul. I'm the new Sprintern.
Sprint plus...
Intern. Yeah, clever. Right?
I was just...
Looking at getting an amazing iPhone 8?
Yeah, because...
They have an all-glass design, advanced cameras, A11 Bionic chip, wireless charging...
And you get the best price for unlimited. Nice meeting you.
I'm gonna... Yeah, now you're going to give your second phone to your new friend. Wow, Paul! Oh my God, it's amazing. I love it.
Get the best price for unlimited. And now get one iPhone 8 and give a second one on us. Or get the unrivaled iPhone 10 now for just $20 per month. Visit your local Sprint store, sprint.com/iPhone, or call 1-800-SPRINT-1 today.
Requires 18-month leases for well-qualified customers. Early termination results and remaining balance due. Excludes tax credits applied within 2 bills. iPhone 8, 64GB, $29.17 a month. Second iPhone 8 after $29.17 a month credit. iPhone 10, 64GB, $30 a month after $21.67 a month credit. Compared to unlimited HD plans for 5 lines, carrier features differ. Coverage and offer not everywhere subject to credit and $30 activation fee. Speed maximums, use rules, and restrictions apply.
There are two ways to pour motor oil. The hard way, which can get messy. Or the easy way, introducing Valvoline in the new Easy Pour bottle, featuring a redesigned easy pull tap and spout and anti-glug tube. Now, the proven protection you expect from Valvoline is even easier to pour. Faster, cleaner, proven. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Valvoline, since 1866. Now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Full Synthetic and a filter for $33.99. Terms and conditions may apply.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Adios, old friend. Yeah, I've got no secrets and no regrets. Well, a lot of regrets, but the point is I've got nothing to hide. Kind of like the way Progressive shows you their competitors' rates. You got to put it all out there, baby. Excuse me, miss. Does this heart belong to you? Would you like it anyway?
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparisons not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
He really seems to care about what, I have no idea.
It's coming!
Like all of history's great battles, and that one episode of Seinfeld.
I'm out.
There can only be one winner.
I can't believe I'm losing to this guy.
Let's meet this week's showdown contestants.
All right, we head to Iowa City. John in Iowa City is answering Alex's questions this evening, and Sean and Marion will be answering the questions I'm holding in my hand right now. On the line, as we mentioned, a four-pack of tickets to see the Cedar Rapids Colonels on opening night at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Saturday, April 7th, taking on the Quad Cities River Bandits next Saturday. It's going to be here before you know it. Gentlemen, welcome aboard. 7 questions in 60 seconds. It looks like we...
Sean dropped off.
We lost Sean, so hopefully he can give us a call back, 366-1600, or someone else can play in Sean's absence, but that makes the choice of who's going to go first a little bit easier tonight. Alex, I'm going to let you and John set the bar.
All right, John, 7 questions, 60 seconds. If you don't know the answer, just say pass. If you're ready, we'll begin.
Ready.
All right, of the 32 teams in the NFL, how many watched Johnny Manziel during the Texas A&M Pro Day?
3.
The Kansas City Royals will be without Salvador Perez for 4 to 6 weeks. What position does he play?
Second base.
The Cedar Rapids Rampage soccer franchise is likely relocating to which state?
Colorado.
Name one of the two Iowa assistant coaches who spoke to the media yesterday.
Brian Ferentz.
What is the name of the 98-year-old nun who serves as Loyola's team chaplain?
God, I had that lost it past.
Who is the Iowa baseball team playing today?
Michigan State.
What NFL team was interested in looking at Iowa State's Joel Landing at fullback yesterday at his pro day?
The 49ers.
Okay, I've seen 0-0 ties before, so hang on, John. You never know if a tiebreaker is going to be needed, but we've got Sean and Marion back on the line with us. And Sean, don't get too overconfident here. Don't think you're going to cruise to victory, but when you're ready, your 60 seconds will begin. Are you ready?
Go ahead.
All right, what American League team is number one in CBS Sports' first MLB power rankings this year?
Red Sox.
Which All-Pro defensive tackle signed with the Rams earlier this week?
Ndamukong Suh.
For the first time in history, 3 freshmen made the AP Men's Basketball All-America team. Name 2 of the 3.
Bagley and Mamba.
The NFL tried to clarify the definition of this during a recent rule change.
A catch.
What level are the Mets going to start Tim Tebow at this year?
Single A.
Which Cedar Rapids native is going to miss the entire season after undergoing Tommy John surgery?
A.J. Puck.
Which NFL quarterback prospect did Mike Mayock say has, quote, more arm talent and athleticism than Carson Wentz?
Josh Allen.
Very good, and time remaining. That's a 4-0 victory. Sean, congratulations. We're going to put you on hold. You're going to be heading to Veterans Memorial Stadium next Saturday night. Or you and 3 friends, or 4 of your friends. I don't know, maybe use them as a gift. Who knows? Colonels taking on the Houston Astros affiliate, the Quad Cities River Bandits, for opening night at Veterans Memorial Stadium next Saturday. Let's go over the ones that Sean missed. There's only a couple of them. The Astros, they won the World Series last year. They almost always start with the team that won the series last year as number one in the power rankings. That's exactly what CBS Sports did. He came clear. He had one of the three AP First Team All-American men's basketball players, DeAndre Ayton and Trae Young, the other options, along with Marvin Bagley. And the Mets are going to start Tim Tebow in Double A this year, where he will be. You have to love some of these minor league team names. Binghamton, New York, has a history in the carousel business. Not Carousel Used Motors, the sponsor of the Z102.9 prom. We'll tell you more about that coming up later on. But as in carousels, ponies, the Binghamton Rumble Ponies. It's the Mets AA affiliate. They used to be the Binghamton Mets, but
so he got a promotion. Did you hear his statistics in spring training?
He was 1-for-18. The only time I saw him in spring training was a 47-second at-bat against Max Scherzer of the Nationals, during which
three pitches, three strikes,
he was out.
All right. Of the 32 teams in the NFL, how many watched Johnny Manziel, who showed up at Texas A&M Pro Day? That would be all of them. 32.
More teams were watching Johnny Manziel at Texas A&M's Pro Day than watched any Iowa or Iowa State prospect the last 2 days here in the state of Iowa.
We talked about Salvador Perez being out 4 to 6 weeks. The question was, what position does he play? That would be catcher. The Rampage, the Cedar Rapids Rampage soccer franchise.
Happy trails to you.
Otherwise known as the Cedar Rapids Aroma, are heading to a very aromatic city, and that would be Orlando in the state of Florida. Reese Morgan and Seth Wallace were the two assistant coaches who spoke to the media yesterday in Iowa City. Sister Jean is the name of the 98-year-old nun who's the Loyola team chaplain. The Iowa baseball team, as Kyle has said today, is playing Bradley, and the Oakland Raiders, of all teams, led by John Gruden, were the team that was interested in seeing Iowa State's Joel Lanning perform at fullback in drills yesterday at his pro day.
And it's interesting, it goes back to the East-West game, and then yesterday the Raiders again looking at him at fullback. Who knows, maybe that's his in. If you missed our chat with Joel at 4:30 tonight, check out our website, kgymradio.com. While you're there, you can also vote in our poll question. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast, behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. Which of the six, and there are seven teams on the poll, but we lumped the Yankees and the Red Sox together, which of the six division favorites in Major League Baseball this year is most likely to fail when it comes to winning the divisional crown? Give you six options. Vote now, kgymradio.com. And I'm making the executive decision here. I think I will spend my lunch hour tomorrow at Emil's Hideaway watching the Cubs and the Marlins. 11:40 first pitch at Marlins Park. Jose Urena and John Lester, the matchup. Trying to figure out what the getup is going to be. I normally dress up for opening day, and maybe if you're out and about, you can stop on into Emil's Hideaway and say hi as I'm sitting there enjoying my lunch, watching the Cubs hopefully pound the Marlins into submission on opening day. We'll see. The Marlins are going to be very bad this year. The Cubs, I believe, are going to be very good. They have, in my opinion, one of the three best rotations in baseball, 1 through 5, taking into account all five starting pitchers. The lineup should be better this year with a semi-regular leadoff man atop the order. You've got Chris Bryan. You've got Anthony Rizzo. They're going to be tremendous defensively, at least when Victor Caratini is not serving as the backup catcher. He's had some defensive issues this spring, but the hangover is in the past, in the rearview mirror. There's no denying last year that team struggled the first month of the season and then never really found its footing, even though they were able to win the Central and overcome the Brewers' early lead. No hangover this year, and I think that's going to benefit the Cubs. 319-366-1600. So join me for an unofficial lunch tomorrow at Emil's Hideaway, one of our great sponsors. The poll question every day here at KGYMRadio.com today, as we mentioned, baseball-related. And have a hunch tomorrow is going to be baseball-related as well. Call me crazy. Opening day, less than 24 hours away.
I guess I'm crazy because I have been talking about the Cardinals and the Cubs rotations, and I'm not quite as high on either of them as some other people, but that's a good thing about opening day. You answer all the questions, or you don't answer all the questions, but everybody has optimism about their team unless you're a Marlins fan or a Tampa Bay Rays fan or whoever else is tanking in Major League Baseball.
We actually did have a Marlins fan on the text line earlier today that said if Donald Trump can win the presidency, the Marlins can win the World Series this year. No, sorry. No. I said way
the
back
World Series?
in September before that election, I said he was going to win. And many of you listeners remember that conversation.
I do.
Marlins aren't winning a thing this year. They're going to be very bad. Now, they're going to have some young players. Lewis Brinson is a center fielder to keep an eye on, and they're going to have some other players at some point this year probably come up through their minor league ranks, but they're awful. They're going to be among the worst teams in the National League. I think the Padres are going to be better than them, and the Padres certainly are going to be more entertaining to watch.
Over under 94.5 losses for the Marlins.
That'd be how many? Give me that in wins. I'm bad at math. 162 games. I'm going to say you're looking at a team that could lose 90.
That would be 67 wins. 66, 67 wins.
Didn't what the Twins win when they had the first overall pick? 66, right? Maybe something along that. Ah, man. That Marlins squad's about a 65-win team.
That's pretty awful.
They're going to be bad. I'm looking at some of the opening day starters for around the majors tomorrow. Ty Black. It's probably pronounced Black. I don't know who he is.
Does he start for the Rays?
He's actually the starter in lieu of Madison Bumgarner tomorrow for the Giants. Bumgarner is on the shelf. Clayton Richard, who a couple years ago was in the bullpen for the Cubs, is the opening day starter for the San Diego Padres. Who else? Well, we mentioned Jose Urania as the opening day starter for the Marlins. Everybody else is at least a semi-recognizable name. Danny Duffy gets the ball for the Royals. Jake Odorizzi, the starter for the Twins, as we mentioned. You can hear the opener tomorrow on 107.5 FM, the North Gym. Many of the Twins' 162 games this year will be carried on our North Gym frequency, and happy that we'll be having a lot of former Colonels to listen in on. Byron Buxton, of course, making the opening day roster, as well as six other former Colonels. Mitch Garver, who was here in January for the hot stove banquet, will be the backup catcher for Minnesota this year, at least out of the gate. A couple former Colonels pitchers, including Jose Barrios, who's, I think, got an opportunity to be the ace of that staff. Not drawing the opening day start, but he is going to be a big factor for the Twins this year. I don't know, man. This is like, remember when I was a kid going to bed on Christmas Eve and waiting to see what presents were under the tree tomorrow. And
do you have like a mixtape like your former co-host did, or like a ritual where you get up and you light a candle or something like that? Or it's just...
It's
just you dress in your Cubs attire, you go to work,
you go to lunch. I used to, before doing this radio program, when I was working from home, every day I would take the day off. So don't call me, don't email me, take a vacation day. And I would run to when I was living in North Liberty, Fairway was the only option, and I would pick up hot dogs and peanuts and a case of Old Style, and I would just sit around all day, and I would grill up hot dogs and eat peanuts in my living room and drink beer and watch the various opening day games. Now, being somebody who has to look presentable coming into the office and working with coworkers who do not like it when people do not abide by the dress code, I will have to push the boundaries of good taste tomorrow, but keep it within the lines, so to speak, and probably have to shelve the Old Style like I have the last 4 or 5 years. So it'll be water or soda at Emil's Hideaway tomorrow as I'm watching the Cubs take on the Marlins for opening day. And just plan on me being gone for a really long lunch. I want to let that burger digest really well before I get behind the wheel.
11:30, right?
You're more than 11:40 first pitch, so I'm sure the pregame will start at 11 something, but you're more than welcome to join me. I'm not picking up your tab. We do owe, Kyle does owe us lunch.
That's still true.
You paid off your debt from the pick six during the college football season. Kyle still owes us, and had we had any foresight, we could have scheduled the lunch for tomorrow, opening day, picked a place, and watched a little baseball. But he'll have to pay off lunch sooner or later, and no, peanuts and Old Style is not an acceptable substitute for lunch. Peanuts a great source of protein, though, so I'm told. 319-366-1600. We're talking, or we have talked baseball here the last couple days on this program, because by the time we're on the air tomorrow at 4 o'clock, opening day will be a thing of the past for several teams, including the Cubs. So we're proactive about this. I know Scott and Mark are doing their season picks tomorrow on the program. We will miss Cal Eldred here on KGYM. He's been a staple of local programming, the area native, entering his first year as Kansas City's Major League pitching coach, and unable to join Scott and Mark because of the time constraints with that job. So I know they're going to have some other baseball writers who are picking up the slack. But it was always fun listening to Cal oversell first the Cardinals and then the Royals the last couple years, talking about them coming into the season. That's a tough break for Kansas City, though, to have to begin the first 4 to 6 weeks without Salvador Perez behind the plate. I was talking earlier today with a coworker who is a big White Sox fan and is headed to Kansas City for opening day to see the White Sox and the Royals. I will say this.
Is Scott going to be here tomorrow?
I'm glad you caught that. It was not Scott. We have a number of White Sox fans here in the building, and they love to remind you of that anytime you talk about the Cubs. I went to opening day in Kansas City several years ago. They were playing the Angels, and I've been to opening day in a couple other cities. Kansas City knows how to do opening day. That is, dare I say, at the expense of St. Louis. But Kansas City is also, in my opinion, a hell of a baseball town. And this is before the Royals were any good. Some of the young players were just on their way up to the major leagues at that point, but they were still sort of this middle-of-the-pack, veteran-laden, what-direction-are-they-going-to-go team. Kansas City knows how to do opening day. They had a great ceremony. George Brett was there, Bo Jackson, a lot of the former Kansas City Royals greats, and Kauffman Stadium, if it's been a while since you've been down there, is a great place to watch a baseball game. That being said, probably not a great place to watch a baseball game in late March, and definitely not a great place to watch a baseball game in, let's say, late June, early July, when it's about 100 degrees.
Been there, done that.
The humidity. Are we sitting too close to the fountain in center field? No, that's just humidity. That's the air on your, feely air on your skin.
But, do you remember Ichiro's comment about Kansas City in July or August?
I probably should.
And it was to Bob Costas. I can't really repeat it on the air, but
he wasn't a fan.
He was asked by Bob Costas, what is your favorite when he was learning English, what is your favorite saying in English? And it was Kansas City is as hot as two rats fornicating, basically. Well, in a sock.
Leave it to future Hall of Famer Ichiro Suzuki to correctly sum up the heat and humidity in Kansas City. St. Louis is not much fun in the summertime either, but neither is Chicago or any other Midwestern city. But we were at a Cubs-Royals game several years ago down in Kansas City, and it was just, I felt like I was in a wetsuit because my T-shirt was just clinging to me. I could have entered and won a wet T-shirt contest that night, and not to give you too much of a mental image, but it was before.
Where is the show going, Todd?
It was before a significant amount of weight was shed, so it wasn't pretty. But needless to say, we've got some excited baseball fans tomorrow, and I'm understanding from Hockey Guy on the text line that the Red Wings may have won their most recent game, so I get it. Baseball is not everybody's cup of tea, but neither is football, neither is golf, and you do what you can to get by here. And again, if the pool were any deeper than an inch of water that I have to tread in every day, I would drown every day for 3 hours here. So thankfully, I at least know something about the game of baseball and can spit take my way through a couple segments on it. But we'll line up some guests tomorrow, and tomorrow was pretty much open for quite a while for opening day, and we didn't know what we were going to do for it. And as such, I can't make any promises about tomorrow's show because I don't know who the hell we've got on with us. But I do know, would you? Thursday.
It's a staple.
It's a staple. And yeah, would you rather I did not put the mental image of me in the T-shirt that was so sopping wet with sweat that it stuck to me and I looked like a wet? Yes,
well,
I would.
I don't think that that's as bad as two rats fornicating in a wool sock. That's
right.
That's way more disgusting. Right, so thank you, Ichiro.
Wright Thompson had a tremendous profile on Ichiro Suzuki, who wants to play baseball into his 50s and is back with the Mariners in, I guess, a bench role. I can't see him doing much of anything with that team this year. They are one of the more interesting teams to me to follow this year if you're a baseball fan, because it's sort of the crossroads for Scott Servais and Jerry DePoto. That team desperately needs to at least make an appearance in the postseason with a wild card berth. I think they've got the talent to do it. The problem is there are a lot of clubs you can say that about in the American League. I like Scott Servais, friend of Jack Doms. Jack is going to be back with us here
soon. I was wondering about that.
With touching all bases, at least as long as he's willing to be with us on Fridays. So a lot of irons in the fire here on the program. As we are we stepping aside here, or are we?
We can keep it right here.
We can keep it here. That's how long we ran today. That's how well oiled the 6 o'clock hour was. 319-366-1600. We will do just that as Kyle makes his way into the studio. He'll have your final Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day. Midwest One has over 40 locations across the corridor for all your banking needs.
The Iowa baseball team's in action today, hosting Bradley at Duane Banks Field. The Hawkeyes sit at 13-8, and Bradley enters at 12-5. Freshman Trenton Wallace got the start for Iowa today. The Hawkeyes led 6-1 after five innings, but Bradley's actually come back to tie it first at 6. The game's now tied at 8 in the seventh. Iowa softball swept a doubleheader yesterday against University of Wisconsin Green Bay at Pearl Field in Iowa City. Kenzie Isle was the winning pitcher in a run-ruled 9-1 victory in Game 1, while sophomore Allison Ducey got the win in a 3-2 victory in Game 2. The Hawkeyes move to 15-13 and host Drake today. They trail 3-0 in the sixth. It was reported yesterday that former Iowa State guard Donovan Jackson will be competing in an inaugural 3-on-3 tournament that will take place at the Final Four between March 30th and April 1st. It'll feature 32 four-man teams representing every Division I conference, and Jackson's also going to be one of 8 participants in the three-point contest. You can see that tomorrow night on ESPN2 at 8 o'clock. Potentially bad news for fans of the Cedar Rapids Rampage today. The Major Arena Soccer League announced that Orlando has been awarded a franchise, and Rampage GM Chris Kokalis is set to be named GM of said franchise. And given that the team's already for sale, you can connect the dots there and likely say goodbye to the Rampage. Tomorrow's opening day for Major League Baseball, and that means we're going to have our first Minnesota Twins game here on KGYM. Jake Odorizzi will get the start as they take on Dylan Bundy in Baltimore. You can hear that beginning at 1:30 on 107.5 FM, The North, Jim.
All right, plenty of baseball talk tomorrow as we will most likely at this point be looking back on opening day between the Cubs and the Marlins, and football, basketball, lots of stuff to get to tomorrow as well as would you. And another opportunity to take home tickets, a pair of tickets, to see Hairball at Veterans Memorial Stadium, the Cedar Rapids Colonels hosting the very popular Hairball band on Saturday, June 9th this year. Tickets on sale right now. You can get them online at kernels.com, or you can listen between 4 and 7 tomorrow and pick up a pair for free with us. Local programming resumes tomorrow with the Gym Class, Scott Unash and Mark Dukes. Gym Class being presented by Third Base Brewery. And I know those guys are looking forward to taking a deep dive into their 2018 Major League Baseball predictions. We want you to join them. Local programming from 3 until 7 every day, Monday through Friday, here on KGYM. Alex and I are going to step aside and brush this one aside. Come back with you on Thursday for another edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show. You've been listening on 1600 AM, as well as our FM frequencies, 106.3 FM in Iowa City and 107.5 FM, the North Gym here in Cedar Rapids. That'll do it. Join us tomorrow. Go Cubs.